Presented by NutriMedical.com. Call live 818-818-6401.
And welcome back. We have the amazing Ken Klein. KenKleinProductions.net. Ken Klein, K-L-E-I-N, Productions.net. He has amazing movies and books. You need to get them. And Ken, you want to talk about some of the important issues today about the difference between the mind and the spirit. And these are essential to actually understand the gospel in terms of the images, the spirit images that God's trying to put convey through the Bible, which, by the way, seems to be missing. Most of the churches don't actually convey that, those images, which give you the fullness of the gospel and where we're actually going. Later on, I want to bring up the COM6, which Mike Adams and many other people like Steve Quayle and some other people have actually had interviewed on the program that were on in the past, you know, decade and a half on my show. But we'll get into that later. So let's get into the mind issues and why this is important. You have some scriptures to kind of back it up. So let's get into it and explain why without the right perspective, you can't really understand God's will. You actually can't properly even praise Him. And if you don't fill God's cup of praise, He can't actually fill your cup of faith, which means gives you confirmation He's there for us, that He's going to accomplish it. Because it really is God's in total control of everything. I mean, we try to pretend that we're sort of participating. I use the little analogy just to make people laugh a little that I'm a bait bucket guy for the Lord. I mean, He's a fisherman. I just carry the bait bucket. So tell us more about your analogies and your scriptures for the mind and the spirit.
Well, I think because of the condition that we find ourselves in, which is a world of emptiness without His presence, without the Lord's presence, we try to fill up our lives with stuff, and it's not satisfying. It doesn't get us anywhere, and we can't understand when we look out at the world and we see all the conflict, all the chaos. The scripture says, why do the people imagine a vain thing? And the world's in this uproar, and it's because fundamentally we aren't instructed that we live in a world of vanity. Everybody's vain. Every human being is vain. They're caught up with the love of themselves. They're self-centered, and so they conceptualize existence within the context of this vanity we find ourselves in. And God is the one that subjected the world to vanity. It says it in Romans 8 that the whole world was subjected to vanity, not willingly, that we would have never done it, but by reason of Him that also subjected it in hope. So why is it, and why did God subject the world into vanity? And the answer is because there was a war in the heavens, which you talked about. Right. The book of Revelation, and that war set up a world in which we have a spiritual amnesia, and we don't know how to recover from it. And so that's why God had to come down here in the person of Jesus Christ to begin to remedy the situation, which hasn't been totally remedied yet. We're in the motions of that remedy now as we live out our lives, and have been as generations come and generations go. We're moving forward in some kind of comprehensive understanding of God, but we don't understand God because we see in a glass darkly. We only see a limited amount of light, but we tend to think that the way to understanding everything is through the mind, the human mind. And so consider that problem when it says to us, Paul writing to the Ephesians, I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. Eyes of your heart, not the eyes of your head, not human reason, but the eyes of your heart. Now, the heart is not in the realm of the feeling. You know, people say, well, I feel like this, I feel like that. What does your gut tell you? Well, they mostly say, well, what's your feeling about that? So, but feeling isn't of the realm of the heart. It's of the realm of the soul, the psyche, the intellect, the emotions, and the will. I see on the internet constantly, get your theological degree. And well, that's the worst thing that can happen to anybody, is to study the academia of Christianity, because that gets you more into your soulishness. We don't think of intellectualism as soulishness, but it is. It's the same thing as the feeling realm in terms of what we default to. So we need to learn how to accept and believe that God will open the eyes of our heart. I did a film and a book that help us see more objectively. It's not a feeling. It's like, look at this from a high standpoint, from an objective standpoint. You don't get a feeling about it. You just see it. You see it clearly. And so that's because we're seeing with our heart. And the scripture tells us, and most of the time we misconstrue what the initial calling of God is, and it's an upward call, not an outward call at first. And certainly God gave the authority that for the apostles to go into all the world and preach the gospel. They have the authority to do that. We have the authority to do that. But really, our life is preparation to go into space. I mean, our life is an upward calling, and we have to prepare for that. We have to prepare for that upward calling. Now, when I want to tell a story, if I may, Bill, sure. Dr. Bill. When I was lost in my humanness, and let's make sure that we understand that we're not mere mortals here. We're more than just mere men. That's what the Bible says in the Psalms.
Right.
That's what Jesus said. He said that you're going to die as mere men. You're not going to arise to the level that I want you to arise
right.
to. And so when I was lost in myself and in the world and playing pro football and messing around in the world with all kinds of sins, I had no idea that I was going to be, let me put it in football terms, intercepted by God. And so that interception was very much like akin to what happened to the Apostle Paul when he was hating people that were Christians, persecuting Christians, going from church to church, dragging people out, getting them put in prison. And on the way to Damascus, all of a sudden, he's intercepted by this amazing presence of God. Not a theological treatise here, not some argument that convinced him intellectually in God, but
right.
a light struck him. And the thing that was amazing about that light striking him is that it was on the street straight. Well, that's really funny. It's very much like President Trump. That's interesting. The Bible talks about the last Trump. I wrote a book called The Deep State Prophecy and the Last Trump because it's almost like God's trying to underscore something to Paul and to us in this age about Donald Trump and what is he fighting against? He's fighting against the New World Order.
In some ways, Donald Trump is a very prophetic president. I mean, what's going
well,
on?
I don't know if he knows.
Well, I mean, he's fitting in just like King Darius of Persia, that was the one who designated and rebuilt the temple of Jeroboam.
In other words,
he has a point in history. In fact, the Israelis have an interesting term when they say he is a Mashiach or he's anointed. Donald Trump's anointed whether he's you want to believe he's a Christian or a prophet or whatever. He's basically anointed to be in a particular position at this time. To ask questions of us to respond spiritually to, not only personally but also nationally, because our nation needs to start seeking God and repenting, not just personally but repentance nationally.
Well, what I was getting at about this
yeah.
light that struck the apostle Paul, well, he wasn't the apostle then, it was Saul of Tarsus,
yeah.
was that he had a personal experience with the powers of the age to come. That's
right.
a different thing than going to a seminary and learning all the doctrines of Christianity. This is like,
right.
man, this guy got nailed by something that he wasn't expecting. And that kind of happened to me 50 years ago when I was coming home from a church. We had a tremendous teacher and preacher in the church, and I had no idea, when I left the building what was going to happen. But we were in this car, about four of us. And this light came into the car, and it wasn't a physical light. It was spiritual light. It was like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was so powerful, I thought I was going to personally die. I thought my body was going to explode. So that is what people need to have, to be really connected properly with the powers of the age to come and the Holy Spirit and the Soundtron, which is a metered sound that goes into all creation. When that hits you, there's no turning back. I mean, that's it. You're done. You don't really want to be in this world anymore. You just want to go on to be with God because there's nothing like that. So there's a difference between a theology, which is Christian academia, which is really deadly. It's really deadly.
One answer, an interesting comment.
In your mind, you don't even realize that you're trying to reason through God rather than to experience something so dynamic, so powerful, that you just know that you know, and there's just no question about it.
Exactly. One of the things you're saying that's really important for people to grasp is heaven doesn't start at the moment you die. Heaven starts the day when you have that kind of relationship with God now. And he wants that relationship with you now while your physical body is still alive. You have a heavenly relationship with God today, not just at the moment of your death or after you're dead. So please continue.
Well, you know, people are not really taught properly about how difficult it is to be a true believer in God, because the way is narrow and the road to destruction is very broad, and it's almost like you've got to continue to be plugged into the power source, and when that plug is pulled out, you lose power and you lose light and you lose the energy. And that plug can easily be pulled out at any moment because of temptations and all kinds of things that can short circuit the power. And so people don't know how to have that continually operating for them. And so that's where the throne of God comes in. That's why the book I wrote, The Unforgettable Tree, is so critical for people to understand. And to have an operational faith, not just the theological faith. That's one thing. There's a lot of people that believe in Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They really don't. They're not knowing him, continually knowing him.
They know about him, but they don't know him on a personal, interactive level, is what you're saying.
Well, when you look at the throne of God, There's actually two altars, three altars to God's temple in the natural world. There's the altar of incense, there's the altar of burnt offerings, which was outside the temple, and then there's the altar of the red heifer, which was about a half a mile from the temple. There are three altars. And in the book of Revelation, we're told that after John sees this seven thunders, which I think we talked about before, he's then given somebody said, measure the temple, measure the altar and the people that worship in it. Well, you know, people say, well, that's the third temple of the Jews. You know, that's what that's talking about. Of course, that's a big deal in Israel. Netanyahu's got his hands on the Wailing Wall and all this nonsense.
Right.
Crazy. That first of all isn't the second temple even, but the third temple, everybody's saying, well, there's going to be a third temple built on the Temple Mount and all that is a whole nother discussion. But the temple
we've got into that before, and I agree with you, and also with Carl Gallup's is going to be on this Thursday, and his messianic rabbis and their messianic believers now in Israel, that you and he and I all agree that the temple is the naos, is our spirit, and that it's not God's intention to sanctify a temple in Israel. There may be one built, but it certainly won't be sanctified by God, will it?
Well, all I'm saying here is, I don't think it will be sanctified by God, because it's for two major reasons, and
right.
I can talk about that ongoingly. But what I'm saying is Revelation 11, that talks about measuring the temple and the altar, and then the people that worship in it, isn't talking about the third temple, which a lot of Christians and people are saying, well, that's the third temple. It's not. It's talking about something different than something on earth there. And that's really critical, because it's understanding the throne and how to go before the throne and how to see the throne where our prayers are answered. And when it talks about that altar in Revelation 11, it's the golden altar, which makes it very clear that this isn't talking about something outside the temple, which was the brazen altar where the animal sacrifice. And remember, all those things are shadows of the reality. And so it's talking about an altar inside the temple that's golden, which is clearly the altar where prayer takes place.
Exactly.
And that's what that's talking about. We have to go to a break.
Yeah, we're going to break now, but we'll be back with more amazing discussion with Ken Klein. Ken Klein Productions. Go and get those books and videos. You need to know this information for your spiritual wellness and As they say, he will give you faith when you understand how to have a relationship and give him praise.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, MycoD2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Get NutraMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutraMedical. Lumen Photon Therapy, infrared light, far and near infrared, is extremely important for pain control, stimulation of nitric oxide, improved perfusion, and stem cell activation and reduction of cytokines. Dr. Bill uses it for pain control, for regeneration techniques, for organ regeneration, and for stimulation of your stem cell activity. This amazing Lumen Photon Therapy this year will probably have an additional device with frequency therapy during the on phase of the lights. To obtain a Lumen Photon machine, contact Dr. Bill at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. He'll prescribe it with the providing nutraceuticals to help with your regeneration, healing, and pain control. Nothing like the Lumen Photon Therapy for easy therapy for your eyes, your pain, your joints, regeneration of organs, detoxification of the body. Get a Lumen Photon machine from Dr. Bill Deagle, NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well with NutraMedical. The Sonic Life Machine is one of the most amazing therapies that Dr. Bill provides. It is the best sine wave exercise machine on the planet, doing whole body vibration, opening up the muscle to reduce insulin resistance, improve perfusion, release stem cell therapies throughout the body, and epigenetically stimulate the body to release DNA activated. The epigenetic therapy with the sine wave curve of frequencies given for atomic resonance, but Linus Pauling for minerals and amino acids, stimulates the production of messenger RNA to correct structural protein enzyme deficiency for almost every illness. There's nothing like the sine wave therapy for improving body healing for exercise, but also the epigenetic treatments Dr. Bill can provide can help neutralize frequencies for disease states and illness. Get a Sonic Life machine through Dr. Bill Deagle at NutraMedical.com. Contact us at NutraMedical.com, 888-212-8871, or go to the website NutraMedical and give us a contact. Dr. Bill is available to help you get well with NutraMedical.
Need a powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens? Allicin Med is the powerful universal pathogen killer's latest advance of German-sourced allicin, enzymatically stabilized to clear the body of bacteria, fungi, mycobacteria, and parasites. It penetrates body biofilms and is non-toxic to tissues. Pathogen resistance cannot develop for long-term body-optimized wellness. Clear stealth pathogens that promote autoimmune disease, cancer, and vascular inflammation and plaque and promote healing of tissues. Now pathogen-free. With 200 milligrams more power than prior Alamed, you can't get a more powerful ally to fight daily bugs and serious pathogens. Give your body what it needs. Allicin Med. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. That's 1-888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com. And listen to the NutriMedical Report on the Genesis Radio Network with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical.com, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
Welcome back. So, Ken, please continue with that amazing dialogue.
Well, you know, it's interesting when we look at this whole issue about the altar and measuring the altar. When the Gospel of Mark was written, which is about 70 A.D., that was the first Gospel, there was no more temple. The temple had been obliterated. It had been gone. It had been burned down. It was no more. There was no temple. There was no hardly any Jerusalem. It was just gone. You read Josephus, and he had a first-century account of what really took place there. So the measuring of the temple in Revelation, which is 25 years later by the Apostle John, couldn't be related to the physical second temple that had now been destroyed. So people say, well, that's because it's written about the third temple. So then, well, how did they get the measurements? Where did they come from? How are we supposed to understand this? What temple is this? Well, we know that when that was written, that in the ninth chapter, it says this: the sixth angel sounded his trumpet, and I heard a voice coming from the four horns of the golden altar. So now we know it's the golden altar. We know it's not the brazen altar. It's the golden altar, which is inside the temple, and it's connected to the four horns, the four horns. It's the only place in the New Testament where the four horns of the altar are mentioned. The four horns are mentioned in the Old Testament. That's where Adonijah and Absalom ran because they were afraid they were going to be killed for what they had done with usurping the king's authority, and they grabbed hold of the horns of the altar. So the horns are mentioned there, but this is the horns of the incense altar, not the external altar where Adonijah and Absalom ran. So this is talking about something in the natural that has a celestial counterpart. And those four horns of the altar where the voice comes out is connected with this incense altar. So it means that there is prayers connected with these four horns. They're right there, and the voice comes from the four horns. Well, what are the four horns? The four horns are the four living creatures that stand before the presence of God night and day in worship. And so those four horns are mentioned as a lion, a baby bull, what are they called? They're called calves, and a man, and then an eagle. They have the face of these creatures. These creatures have these faces, and they have wings, and they have eyes all over their bodies. They have eyes going forward, the eyes going backward, and they have eyes going inward. This is the eyes of God that see everywhere. And God
it shows the omniscience of God is what you're saying, right? The all-knowingness of God.
Yes, but it's that part of us that needs to be healed. It's that part of us that is blind and naked and destitute of objectivity and far-reaching vision. It's all of us are cursed with this problem of vanity, and we need to be recovered. We know that when you read Revelation 21... it says that the measure of man is the measure of an angel. A cubit is the measure of an angel, and it's the measure of man. We know there's a connection between the angels and men that are make us more than mere men. So how do we ascend to that place where we attain to the Elohim of God? Because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said to the Sanhedrin when they were going to kill him, he said, "Have not I said in your law, and it cannot be broken, have not I said you are Elohim?" He's trying to tell us something about ourselves that we've lost sight of. We have amnesia. We're blind. We don't realize how destitute we are of the vision of God that sees the way these living creatures see. And that's what God is trying to restore to us so that we're equipped to go into the heavens, because that's our calling. It's an upward calling of God in Christ Jesus to go into the heavens, which is the Father's house. And what do we do there? We plant the heavens, or we restore the heavens. Something's happened in the universal construction that's cast a cloud over the whole creation. And Jesus' magnificent redemption, coming to this earth to recover not just a bunch of sinners, but a lost race of angels. We are angels, and we don't know it, and we're blind, and we're miserable, and self-centered, and we have to be healed. And that healing process is what Christianity should be about, but it isn't. It's mostly rituals. It's mostly doctrines. It's not this ongoing revelation of God in our heart. And that's what has to be adjusted. We have to see with our heart, and we don't. We see with our mind, and we don't see with our heart. And God's trying to help us be restored to that.
The public church is a good example. In fact, we've been watching a miniseries on mystery on British television called Grantchester. And it shows a pastor, and it's obviously a British version of the, if you want to call it, the Catholic Church, of course. But the modern churches basically are like absent without leave. They're not preaching what you're talking about. They're not giving people the spiritual manna to develop that spiritual vision of what they are and where they're going and what they have to do to actually clear themselves of their own ego in order to let God in. I mean, if you're full of your own ego, God cannot take over, can he?
The issue is understandable, because we default to our human mind. We lean to our own understanding. And we're told, don't lean to your own understanding.
That's a little quote in Psalms. That's actually on my counter in my kitchen, believe it or not. Lean not unto thy own understanding, but in every way lead to the God, right?
It's almost like we can't get out of our own way. But the truth of it is, the way is explained in the book of Philippians, that I might know him, the power of his resurrection, which is the Holy Spirit's continual expanding of his presence within our heart, the fellowship of his sufferings, which is the stripes of Jesus that we have to go through, all of us. Because that's the discipline that leads us to the understanding of being conformed to his death. That is not a message that is popular, because we have to constantly be turned over to death so that life will work in us. And unless we understand the death of Jesus, which is why I wrote the book, The Unforgettable Tree, it's a really important book for people to get a hold of. And I'm not trying to make money on it. I'm just trying to get it out there so people will be elevated in their inner person and their heart and their spirit and understand the magnitude of God's love and forgiveness, so that we can go before the throne. We can issue our prayers in the presence of God. And by the way, when you look at the incense that was burned on that altar of incense, it's very interesting if you go in there and look at it. You should go read that in Leviticus, because the properties of that incense is amazing. One of the things that were added to the properties of the incense, which was made by only one family in all of Israel, was frankincense. And frankincense was taken from a tree that had healing properties for arthritis and all kinds. But you should look at that. It's really amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So that when the priests went into the temple and they breathed in the incense that burned on that altar, there was healing in the presence of God. It's just there. So it's an amazing thing when we pray. What happens to our inner man when we pray and go before the throne and understand that we can go before the throne? Because God has cleansed the heavens, and we can go there. We can go there by faith, and we can visualize it and see it, and we can partake of the resonance that comes from the four horns or the living creatures in the throne of God. And that way, we begin to acquire heavenly vision. We see far off. We hear things that we never heard before. This is what God's people need. They don't need to go to hear doctrines and sermons. They need a personal revelation of the resurrection of God in the person of Jesus through their own faith. Jesus, by the way, if you believe that the book of Laodicea or the church of Laodicea, the last church mentioned in Revelation chapter 3, the last days church, notice that Jesus is outside knocking to get in. that's where I see myself. I'm trying to knock to get into the churches, and they're not letting me in. They don't want to hear this.
Well, that's why even some people listening to this show probably are a little in a state of shock, because this is foreign to the gospel they've already received, or a misgospel. This is why even their eschatology is wrong, because if you don't have the right perspective of God, you don't understand God's eschatology, And you don't understand his manner in which he tries to save us, but again, he has to get a vision of what he is trying to provide for us, because the only source of good is God. I say the only way to do good is to Shema, Hebrew, which means hear and do. So if you don't hear God and you don't hear his visions or see his visions, you can't do his will and you can't actually have a relationship. And a lot of people think, well, I just do so many things for God, he'll like me. God already loves you. So this idea is what you're saying is, we don't want a substitute, we want the real spiritual manna, which is why your books and videos are so important. And you're arriving, I think, at a time where you're like someone I call the spirit, prophets of the Old Testament, you know, like Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Isaiah, where they provided a lot of images of the higher spiritual world of God, you know, the third, you know, the highest heaven. And that getting that vision is really important, because if you don't understand God's purposes and vision, you can't understand the destiny of mankind either, can you?
Well, no. And the stepping stones to getting into a higher objectivity are like climbing a mountain. I mean, you got to take that first step, and as you get closer to the top, the air is more rarefied and more difficult to keep climbing. As you get higher, it becomes more difficult. Right. And there's many attacks and many things. There's many people that hate me because of what I say. And I've had people rise up against me that are best-selling authors and excoriate me for saying what I say. But you know what? Yeah. God's just trying to help people climb the mountain and get closer to him. And that's all I'm trying to do. I don't care about money or stuff or anything. That's not my thing. But it's about elevating the kingdom of the people of God to get closer to the king. That's my motivation. And the scripture tells us that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent trying to take it by force. Well, the violent are the ministers that are fighting against each other and crowding in. And it's sad, but it's understandable, because we're all vexed with this state of vanity that we're in, and fighting for to be right, and fighting to understand who we are. And we are the most amazing creatures on the planet, and maybe in the universe. We are a fallen race of Ophanim, or in a more generic word, Elohim. So that's who we are. That's who Jesus defined us to be. And we have to get there. We have to get there by faith, and we got to climb that mountain. And that's what I do. That's what I'm trying to help people. I'm a spiritual chirpa. I'm trying to help people climb the mountain.
You're a Sherpa, yeah. In other words, you're trying to climb the spiritual mountain. yeah, that's really cool. So I see you have a special calling, although you haven't taken the name upon yourself of being a prophet apostle. What you're doing is apostolic and prophetic.
I'm just trying to be a guide to help people.
Right, but that is a calling. And one of the things about your humility is you're not going to bring a title on yourself, but what you're doing, which is why you're getting so much opposition to the church, is you're saying things that have come into opposition of the church, which is why the church itself is not giving people hope, is not changing society, and is not changing the nature of human interaction that brings godliness to every aspect of our government, whether it's medicine or the law or public dialogue or the idea of abortion. The reason why we're not working in the will of God is because we don't have his vision, right?
Yeah, and I think once people begin to see the big picture, they'll want to climb the mountain, because it's not like a have to. It's not like a legalism. It's not like, well, you better do this or else God will be really angry with you and he'll kill you for that. You know, it's not it. It's not this Muslim idea of God. It's God is merciful. He wants to give us the power and the authority to be creators. On earth, you can see the creative power of man, and just look at a car. It's like an impossible. Are you kidding me? This is amazing. But that's just such a minuscule thing compared to what he wants to impart to us as his proxies, because we're called to go into the universe and plant it, or to settle it. We are, you know, just think of yourself as being a pioneer going from New York to San Francisco in the middle part of the 1700s, 1800s. That's who we are. We are to go into space,
right,
and to establish the heavens. That's an amazing hope and
right,
calling.
It is. In other words, this is a spiritual version of Star Trek, is what you're saying. Right? It's a lot more than what we see on these miniseries. Back in a moment.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
Red Deer Velvet DR is an amazing new product with a patent to preserve 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones, same as fetal life, where you don't age at all. The state of fetal life allows the 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones produced by the placenta to be supportive of the regeneration of tissues and organs, with maximum apoptosis changing the tissue and organ structure of a fetus. That's why if fetal surgery is performed, there is no scar. Taking 2 to 3 capsules twice a day with oncomycin, Myco D2, provides an amazing support for regeneration of any tissue and organ in the body, and even advanced stem cell therapy support treatment. Do get NutriMedical's Red Deer Velvet DR from Dr. Bill Deagle at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, 888-212-8871. Stay well and stay young with NutriMedical. Hi, I'm Dr. Bill Deagle, MD, AAEM, ACAM, A4M, of NutriMedical.com, and a consultant providing email advice free on advanced protocols for your optimized wellness and advanced technologies to heal and regenerate you. You can contact us at NutriMedical.com, that's NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. You get free email starter protocols of our top medical-grade nutraceuticals, initial testing, and recommendations for your own primary doctor to do, as well as recommendations to give you an idea of a consultation and a full protocol to try to help you regenerate your tissues, heal naturally without the use of toxic polypharmacy. I can send test kits to you as well anywhere in the world and provide you recommendations to referral of specialty clinics worldwide. So contact me, Dr. Bill Deagle, at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com or 888-212-8871. At NutriMedical.com, we have the most amazing drinks with the best mouthfeel, highest quality bionutrient exposure to your body to heal and regenerate, and the most powerful persistence of nutrients to heal your body dramatically. We have Ageless, which makes you age less, which repairs your DNA, extends your telomeres, etc. We have Life Support that detoxes phase 2 detox pathways, glucuronidation, sulfation, and methylation pathway support. We have Glycemics that blocks the carbohydrate absorption and helps with diabetes or weight loss, and as well helps with people that are trying to build up muscle, using things like our special formulas from Dr. Wolf called Mega Muscles between meals along with Sports Energy Light. We have the amazing NutriComplete, the most complete red and greens drink in the world, with the best mouthfeel and flavor. You can often mix it too with Vitamin Mineral Mix, which is our fruit flavored mix power of vitamins. Stay well with NutriMedical every day.
I remember when I lost my
mind. And welcome back.
There was something so pleasant about that place.
And of course, we have amazing discussion here with Ken. What you're doing is you're providing, you're like a spiritual Sherpa, as you say, trying to get people up the side of the mountain. You want people to get a relationship with God, because dogma is going to save, not to help people.
And we've been under tribulation for thousands of years, but it's going to a crescendo now. It's getting much more intense. And a lot of people, you know, Jesus commented, will there be faith in the earth? He means, considering the intensity of the stress and the negativity and the demonic power in our world, will there be faith? In other words, will there be people that know not just know about Yeshua, God, in the flesh, but have a relationship? And, you know, when he's saying faith, he's basically saying, you know, if you don't have faith that God's there and you can't praise him, you can't receive faith back that he's going to heal you, your nation, or your relationships, or whatever. So it's very important people grasp it. That's why your books are so important, because I see, not everybody, but I'd say the vast majority of people that call themselves believers or Christians don't have a really solid faith or spirit relationship. And you need to build that up. In other words, you're basically a Sherpa saying, look, here's how to climb that mountain to have that relationship with God, so you can start to transcend beyond just dogma and become more powerful as to what your destiny is and what and how God leads you. I think a lot of people feel powerless because they want to think it's their battle, you know, when really it's God's battle, and he just brings us into it by us having a relationship with him. You know, as I say, I use the analogy, I'm a bait bucket guy. I try to bring people to introduce them to God like you do. You're introducing them to the Spirit of God and his visions, right?
Yeah, and I think I'm the word relationship is starting to get really tired for me. It's like, it's almost like a cliche.
It's almost like a spiritual dance, though. In other words, you're starting to move with God. How's that? I like to say,
okay, well, if you know the Lord, what's he saying to you? How's he dealing with you? What's he saying to you?
Right.
Where are you at with him? Are you receiving revelation from him? Is your spirit being enlarged? Is your heart being enlarged in him? Do you know this to be happening in you, or are you just going through the motions of Christianity? And Christianity is in trouble. I mean, it really is, because it's not a bad thing, because people are going to have to hear his voice. And if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. That's what it tells us in Hebrews. To harden our heart is when we sin. And it doesn't mean God's mad at you. It means that you're not going to be able to hear him. It's just like if we harden our heart, we can't hear him, because we're supposed to hear with our heart and see with our heart. And so if we voluntarily, willfully commit sin, well, then we harden our heart and we can't hear him. And in this hour, the adversary is getting more and more blatantly manifested. I mean, you see it in the political world. Obviously, Satan's trying to take over the world through, liberalism.
Oh, it's not even hidden anymore, is it?
It's so obvious and blatant. So we have to be able to hear from the Lord, not when we go listen to the pastor on Sunday or Saturday, whenever you go, but we have to hear him every moment of the day, all day long. We have to be in his presence. So that's what we're trying to do, is help people connect with the throne where he's speaking, where voice comes from the four horns of the altar. That's where it is. And if you're not getting there, then you need to get there, because you won't make it.
Yeah, I got a new term for you. You're a spiritual prepper master. You're a master of spiritual prepper. In other words, you're prepping people spiritually, because just knowing and firing off scriptures doesn't mean you're prepped up to deal with what's coming. You have to have this revelation that you're showing, this spiritual manna, this dance with God, this kind of dialogue. Otherwise, you're not going to be prepared for what's coming, are you?
Well, it's not like people that are nominal are going to go to hell. I don't believe that.
I don't say that. I'm just saying you're not going to have the fullness of what God wants you to do, though, right?
Well, I wouldn't say to do. I'd say to be. It's not God hasn't called us to do. God has called us to be his sons and daughters. And we, from that identity, we do things. So it's not
exactly. You're right. In other words, you don't do things because you're trying to please God. You do things because you have a specific relationship with God. The doing just comes out of the relationship. It's not just so you can curry favor with God, in other words.
Well, John 15 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I am the same, bring forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So if you abide in Jesus, you're automatically going to produce fruitfulness. But
right.
we're not called to do, we're called to become, and become
right.
His sons and daughters, a revelation of God in our inner man, in our heart. And
uh-huh.
as that happens, it's like this this power comes out of us, and it produces fruitfulness. So we're called to be transformed, and to go back to the Father where we belong, and go back to, you know, our calling, which is to cultivate and plant the heavens. Our calling is to go into space, and I want to say civilized space, because it's a mess. There's many wars going on up there. We're not the only place. We're not the only existence. That's pretty egocentric to think.
Yeah.
So we're called to go into space.
Yeah, I have some Christian ministries that were on Steve Quayle's conference called Gen 6 over the weekend, 13th, 14th, 15th. And I'll have a number of other people on the program talking about that, including Mr. Gilbert, who's a pastor, Pastor Gilbert, and others. The idea is that we have to understand the nature of evil out in the galaxy and the cosmos, and God's
right.
eventual plan for us to become, in a sense, the agents of good across the universe as his bride. And that's what's talked about the marriage supper. The marriage supper is God is intending to marry a sanctified and saved human race that actually becomes his proxy to bring order into the universe, godly order into the universe, by a bride that's totally given over to God and married. And that's what the whole purpose of the entire thing, going right back to Moses and the Pentateuch and all of the books, like even the book of Job, all these things are basically giving us visionary pictures of where our eventual destiny is. And our eventual destiny is to become the queen of the heavens, not just go to heaven and play a harp, but to be the queen of the heavens across the great cosmos, where there's more galaxies in the universe than grains of sand on every beach. People don't realize what our destiny is, and God has a great purpose for the human race, which is why the battle is so vicious, to end up reducing the human population, destroying us with evil, and having us eventually being hacked into by by the cyber net and the global elite agencies and so on, so they capture the human soul. You know, a lot of people basically, including especially the young, they don't have a lot of hope now, because they're not only financially in shackles because of their college debt and so on, but they haven't received hope in the churches they go to. And that's where they need to get. They need to get a modicum of hope, and that hope's not going to happen by just reading Scripture alone. It requires a vision of the higher purposes of God, isn't it?
we are in a real pickle here on this planet, but all of these things that are happening are explained through all the seals in the book of Revelation, where God's trying to show us he's going to heat up the furnace just like he did in the old days. And all that's going to do for those that have the Lord with them in the fire is burn
right.
away all of the dross and the wickedness that we have brought into this world as a result of our rebellion when we first rebelled against God in the heavenly dimension. So all
right.
of it's good. Even the bad stuff is good, because it just turns around and becomes that which burns away the corruption and the bondages that we find ourselves in. So it's an interesting hour in which we live, but you know what? I'm not of this world, and those that know the Lord Jesus aren't of this world either. So all of these things that are happening, God inverts it and means it for good for us. So all things work together for good to them that love God, that are called according to
His purposes. In other words, your suffering on earth literally is to the glory of God. Your perspective on earth is going to bring you into suffering, because when you serve and have God's perspective, suffering is going to be part of your validation that your relationship is with God first, not the world.
That's a good way to say it. I like that.
Yeah. And people don't get that. They don't realize their suffering is, in a sense, to the glory of God.
That's exactly right, because it's what perfects us. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. And
right.
he's perfected through suffering, and he's the author and finisher of our faith. So we have to go the same route. And as we do, we can thank God for the suffering, because it's his discipline. It's the discipline of the
yeah.
Lord. Well, get me out of the suffering, Lord. Well, okay, but you know what? It's for your good. It's for your good that you learn how to have faith in me. So faith is much more precious than gold that perishes, because...
Right.
When it's tried, it works unto our praise, honor, and glory, and produces for us a weight a weight of glory. So right. That's what we want. We don't want to just be people that are superficial and like a facade of a movie set. We want to be people of substance and weight, and it's through all of that, as we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen, that's how we put on the weight of glory. And this light momentary affliction works for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, as we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen.
Right. So where we are right now, we have, just looking at the, let's say, the political things in America, but around the world, we have Iran and a proxy, the Houthis, attacking Saudi Arabia, trying to pull us into war. We have Russia and China with nukes aimed at us in North Korea, et cetera, you know, and all these other places. So it's, you know, South America, Venezuela, et cetera. We have the finances of the world with a bubble economy run by the banks that have set up the last wars over the last 2.5 centuries since the Napoleonic War. We've got churches that are basically, I call, absent without leave. We have American citizens that don't understand the activity that we need to be participants, godly participants in a godly activation using the Bible to be, if you want to call it, active U.S. citizens. In other words, the Constitution and the fact that we have a godly republic and our rights are transferred to our politicians is from the will of God. I mean, I see America as the latest version of like the ancient state of Israel, where God gave his rights to his 12 tribes, and he passed that tribal authority on to the head of the tribes. But really, it came from God through to the people first, and then they gave it through their proxies. What I see happening is that the world is in a great state of confusion. And that confusion is being used by the dark side to further balkanize us into different small subgroups. We see the politicians are now very bold. I mean, look at the Democrats running here in this country. Even the average Democrat doesn't support late-term abortions, but they're all pushing for it. They want, they're not going to fix the drug cartels in the Central and South America. They're driving people out of there. Even Donald Trump needs to upgrade his understanding of these whole things that are going on. But he's trying to do the best he can with a very bad situation. And what I see happening, if in fact either 2020 or 2024 we had a shift toward one of these Democrats, I call the demon rats, the same term as Judge Pirro uses, our nation America, which I think is like a modern version of ancient Israel, would be under grave judgment. And I don't think people understand that we have to walk not only personally but nationally with God, or we're going to pay for it, aren't we?
Well, this whole thing of the feminizing and the destruction of human beings before they're born is a spiritual attack to prevent God's sons and daughters from coming into this world and finding redemption. It's a total circumvention by Satan to stop right. redemption and the plan of salvation and recovery right. of angelic beings back to the Father. It's really right. evil, terribly evil. And there's going to come a time when Jesus said it, nighttime comes when no man can work. We're heading into that storm.
Yeah, that's why God gave me a book he dictated many years ago called Abortion Armageddon. And abortion, yeah. what it does is cut off that life from having the experience of being in this world and then coming back to God and being,
that's
in
right.
a sense, redeemed.
Right.
So abortion is one of the greatest things. It's like running, and God gave me this impression, like running toward God with a needle in his eye. There's nothing that makes God more angry than abortion.
Yeah, it's an interruption of redemption. That's right.
Exactly. Amazing stuff. Wow, what a discussion today. Thank you, Ken. We'll be back next week with Ken Klein. John W. Smith, we're going to read off the letter we got from POTUS on the exact day God told me he would receive it, on the 12th of September, from President Trump. We're going to read that letter and talk about it. We did an hour and 20-minute discussion on the weekend. That video is up on our YouTube channel. We'll be back in just a moment. Medicine for the blues.
Which was most appropriate because that was your theme.
Are you tired of hearing your